so that means I got to stay near this. It seems interesting with camp, we're generally outside, but today we've been given the privilege of being inside. It's a beautiful day. In my preparation for Christian camping, I thought of many individuals that are sitting in this audience this afternoon that have had more years in camp than I have had in my own personal life. Why am I up here? Well, one brother says, it's a new breed. Another brother mentioned, well, years ago, it was a pioneer work. Camp today is a lot of specialization. And I have to agree in both areas. It is a new work. It's taking a lot of different phases into camping, but yet do not forget the old. I encourage you, please, do not forget the old ways of doing camp, because they're some of the best ways and most effective ways. Some of you know our brother Rob Lindstedt in Wichita, Kansas, and Rob and I have been together many a time. And we shared an illustration from God's Word that I'd like to share this morning with you, or this afternoon. And this is found in Nehemiah chapter 2, in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and its gates are burnt with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good unto me, and also the king's words that had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobalat, the servants and the Amorites and the Egyptians and the Arabians heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Now I look at this last part of the portion of Scripture and I see the aspect of the world, their attitude toward Christian camping. If you look in the various camp journals, there is the American Camping Association, there's CCI, Christian Camping International. And there are so many camps today that are labeled Bible camps that are very secular. Their aspect of program is one of social recreation. They specialize in sports camps. And there's nothing wrong with this. We can use it as an effective tool to bring in young people that normally would be going elsewhere. We can use it to bring them in to hear God's Word. This coming year, we're bringing in a sports camp for our boys ages 8 to 12. Keen in with young men that are very athletic inclined, but having them as counselors, having a speaker that is geared in the athletics, but shows these young fellas the importance of a Christian living and a testimony and a desire to love the Lord as well. You know, so we can have an effective balance in this area. But I look also in here, is there's a need to rise up and to build. Now, I'm sure a lot of you brethren and sisters can look back at beginning times that actually you rose up and you cleared everything off the grounds and you had to actually build from the ground up. Or you've taken things that have been in shambles and you've remodeled them to make the program that you have today. I also look at working together. Camp work is not a separate work all by itself. It's the work of the Lord as much as the local assembly, but if the local assemblies or the area that you draw basically from is not in prayer, is not participating in uplifting and encouraging you, then I wonder, are you doing the work of the Lord, or is this something that you're trying to boost of your own? Now, there are some areas of concern, and at this moment, I don't think I need to have that light turned off. I'd like to show some slides that were given to me. I corresponded with a few of the this is Camp Sunrise down in Texas. Some of you may have had the privilege. Most of the camps that I'm showing, I have never had the privilege of being to. Some of you have ministered the word, but this is some of the facilities. Camp has changed a lot in the few years. I lost one there. In this picture here, right. This camp has developed a planetarium, and it is no longer just used for summer work, but it is also being used all year round. They are reaching out to the public school children. On an average, they have over 1,500 young people from the public school coming through the planetarium, and they're being able to minister God's word in a different aspect. Still part of camp ministry, but a different touch to it. Each camp has its own different design. This is one of the old touches. Hay rides. Everyone loves a hay ride. We've had some experiences with hay rides that are good or bad. I urge you, be very careful. Safety should be one of the most important things in your camp program when you're dealing with young people. Water activity. Some camps have the privilege of having swimming pools. Some have lakes. This is the Circle Y Ranch, which is north of Chicago. And I've never been there, but it works primarily with the inner city young people. Is it in Michigan, north of Chicago?
Lower Michigan.
Lower Michigan? I was informed by a brother that this was a work that a well-to-do Christian brother had the land, and one of his stipulations was when he died that it would be used with the work with young people in the inner city. So, and the gentleman that was very active in that program this year informed me that about 115 young people came to know the Lord. So, this is another aspect. Some buildings are blocked, some are wood, some are metal. You know, there's various structures that you can put up for a camp. Now, this is Lake Geneva Youth Camp. I had the privilege of coming to know the Lord through Lake Geneva Youth Camp 28 years ago. And it's been a joy ever since. Some discouragement in my own part, but yet when I went to Lake Geneva, we didn't have a beautiful facility like that. We had chicken coops, that they call them, the old metal Quonset huts and the barns and everything else. And some of you gentlemen remember those facilities. We didn't have the pretty docks, and we went swimming in the lake. But there's a lot of different avenues. Camp is bringing into many areas volleyball, basketball, skiing, boating, wilderness activities. Your furthest dreams of imagination can come true in a camp program. Our brother Don Norby is very active out in Colorado and desires to mountain climb. Well, we have a couple caves, but they're nothing like the Colorado mountains. But rappelling. Now, this is Camp Elam out in Colorado. This is one of the main, I love this picture. This is one of the main, if not the main reason of camp. And if it's not up at the top of the list of priorities in your camp program, I encourage you to evaluate what your priorities are. If we're not desiring to glorify the Lord, you don't need to be in a camp ministry and, quote, label it Bible camp. Call it some dude ranch or resort and go into the social aspect of camp. If you are desiring to glorify the Lord, then just as they have a happy face in recreation, you can also see that glow of joy when they come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. But it's a teamwork. This is a work that our brother Ben has been involved with at Storybook up in Minnesota. And you know, the last time I was up there, you were just putting a roof on the chapel. As I said, each camp has a different technique, a different flair about it. Storybook has all different little storybook characters and objects as their home. This is the pumpkin. I mean, how many people have the joy of sleeping in a pumpkin for a week? They have the shoe and the red barn. Was it three bears? Different quarters on that. Yes, sir. I would appreciate input. Yeah. This is their lovely chapel that they erected, and on the back side of it, it overlooks the lake. It's very, very pretty. Now, this is Iowa Bible Camp, and if I'm wrong, correct me, is this at Twin Lake? At Twin Lake? Yeah. Twin Lake? Yeah. Willowbrook. Right. Right. This is a new flare that they added to their program. It's a 60-foot slide. And Brother Ben was saying when he was there this summer that it was one of the hottest spots around camp. If you wanted to find a kid, you could find him there. This is another area of recreation with miniature golf. There's different techniques. Now, this is the program that I'm involved with, Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. We've gone into, in some areas, a lot more elaborate and expansive facilities. I thought this picture would come out. We do a lot with the family programs. We have three weekend family programs. We have 2 full weeks of family camp. This is a week of our boys' camp. And it's water activity. We don't have the privilege of a swimming pool at the present, Lord willing. We hope to do this in the near future. But we have a river that we've been very fortunate to use. And in some areas, I understand a lot of camps are having more requirements and regulations. And it's very hard to understand what each camp goes through unless you really sit behind the desk of the executive director there at the camp, because he gets it all across his desk, and the board of directors have a lot of decisions that the world is bringing into camp ministry and its regulations. And I'm afraid that in the near future, if camps are not looking at the federal regulations and state laws that are coming out governing camps, and they put just a quote camp on it. You may put Bible camp and think you're separate, but in the eyes of the law, you're tied up. And if you're not going with the proper requirements, they can come in and shut you down, and it can be very, very difficult. We went through an expensive aeration unit last year just for sewage, and the tape or paperwork added up about that thick, and the cost of a $15,000 sewage system in order that we could use toilets. So there are requirements. This is one of the recreation areas that we are trying. We're using a lot with tires. We're in a rural community and a lot of farms, and tires are very easy. Counselor said, smile, boys, and they acted natural. It's a joy to see young people having fun. And we trust that they do have fun. But we also enjoy seeing, as that young lady, reading her Bible, coming to know the Lord. Some of the areas that we're concerned with is not just campers, but also the staff. Those that come for the summer, for a couple weeks, we have a program we call In Concert Training, and we also have continual education. Through the week, a couple times in the evening, we have a time of study with our staff. Now, these are the youngsters that are doing the dishes. We have farces and have farce personality, personnel there. We have waterfront, different people doing the various responsibilities. And we have separate groups. In most areas, they keep them together. We have a what we call an HC head counselor for the girls and one for the guys. And they are ministering to each individual need there at camp. During the day, even in the evening, if a counselor is having difficulty trying to get through to a camper, then they can troubleshoot with this individual and go to that camper and try and help them out, give them a break. Sometimes in camp, individuals, as we've heard the firm phrase, burn out. A counselor can easily do that in the middle of the week and start to be very groggy. And this is one area where the head counselor can sense this and say, hey, go to my cabin and take a nap. I'll cover for you. It's teamwork. One of the biggest things that I would enjoy seeing, and it's been a desire on my heart, and I've been praying about this, is how do you get moms and dads back in the camp? How do you get individuals like yourself to take a week off of work and counsel? That's all I remember as a youngster in camp, is moms and dads counseling. And now it's being thrown to the young people, junior, seniors in high school, college, and a few career people that aren't married that say, well, I've got nothing else to do. I'll spend a week at camp. If you've got any suggestions, I'd greatly appreciate it. This camp, Christian camp, I trust the seminar is input as well as output. Yes, brother.
Two questions. Give us an idea of the capacity, and then give us an idea as far as moms and dads in age bracket. What would you recommend in that area?
Well, the age capacity on most camps run from 8 to 12 for their juvenile or elementary ages.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about counselors on age bracket.
All right. On age bracket, some states cannot have an individual under 18. Brother Ben was commenting, Palmer was commenting, that in Colorado, they're trying to pass a law that even a counselor has to have a couple weeks of training.
3 months.
2-3 months of training before they can go in and counsel in a cabin. That means camp administrators are going to have to start doing a lot more traveling into the local assemblies and having seminars, if that's the case. If we are going to use camp as an effective tool. I can't see just tossing camp ministry out the door and say, well, there's too much government regulation. It's no good. There's too many right here in this audience alone that has had some effect from camp ministry. Taking that child away from that home environment, that peer pressure, and getting them away for one full week, 24 hours a day, is equivalent to one full year going to Sunday school and spending 20 minutes in a class. It has to have an effect because you're able to not only tell this individual, and I'm not just referring to boys and girls, I'm talking about moms and dads too. I think it's a tremendous place for them to learn the love of the Lord as well. And it's a great place for young people to bring their parents as well. Yes, sir.
I'd like to get back to what Brother Jay mentioned. I don't think you answered the question. I think he's talking about, you threw out the question of how can we get parents back into the temple and counseling people. I think his question was, what kind of parents are you wanting? What would be their responsibilities? Maybe I could add another one. What might you as a camp person be willing to do in terms of their children, if they have children? Maybe that's the area that you're asking.
Okay, we've had some parents, excuse me then, Brett. We've had some parents offer to cook with children. And in our facility, we've been able to accommodate that, where they have a room to themselves and their children are there and they're assisting as kitchen helpers. Say like you and your wife would come. There's an area in the cabin as well. Now, I've heard the old saying, well, if you're going to have a counselor, you've got to have private rooms because the older they get, the more privacy that they want, and you have to have a separate room for them in the cabin. I think that's a very poor idea in the sense that the counselor needs to be right in with the young people. There has to be a showing of mischief as well, as well as discipline, as well as spiritual walk. Your actions speak a lot louder than your words in the cabin. And how you respond to their harsh play, the toads in the bed and everything else, make a big difference. The basic area, I would say that you would probably feel that you were too old to be in a cabin counseling, but you would love to help in any other way. Maybe you would feel differently. In a lot of cases, camps try to work in a younger one to be a junior counselor, a co-counselor. There's different terminologies. But the experience that you can give is tremendous just in the fact of your presence being there. We had a couple of men that grew up in camp when I was a youngster. And they came back this year for 1 week, and there was high school fellas, there was college fellas, and these were the two older gentlemen involved in counseling. And it really caused a different relationship for the younger ones, instead of saying, you know, well, it's just left of us to do the work. It showed that everyone cared. There was different levels of ages. And I don't think we're in a position to say that if you're 72 years of age, you shouldn't be in a cabin. Yes, sir.
I'm just going to say, I think it's a matter of your own ability to have fun with kids and appreciate kids.
That's
and
right.
Enjoy kids. If you do, well, you've had people there up in their retirement time almost, and your kids enjoy them while they're all over the street.
We've had some that call them aunt or uncle. Oh, call me grandma. Oh, call me grandpa. I mean, it's how you relate to them, how you feel. I try not to put anybody under 17 in a cabin. To me, that's cutting it close. And I'm cutting it close too, right, brother? I'm going to have to be calling this short because of a flight that's due out. But there's some things that I think I'd like to just comment very briefly on. Number one, you need to have an effective administration involved in your camp. If you're going to run a full all year round operation, you need to have individuals that are willing to really take the ball and keep it rolling. You're going to have to be arranging, if you're running your own program, you're going to have to plan a year ahead for speakers and everything else, if you desire to have that kind of a program. You're going to have to be aware of the rules and regulations that state and federal laws are bringing out. You're going to have communication back and forth, when I'm referring to communication, I'm referring to your administration. It's going to have communication back and forth with your board. And your board is going to have the feel of the saints around the area that you draw. What is their interest? What is their feelings? What is their direction? Because if you're not listening to what's being said, then it's more or less you're dealing a program that you're trying to develop your own. And the large people, in my mind, have to have an input in camp ministry because it's a large work. I can't stand up in the front and say, well, this is what Turkey Hill's doing, and this is what we're doing, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, because it feels like it's becoming my work, and it's a large work. I'm just an instrument. The Lord could have the plane crash this evening and take me home. And I feel if the Lord wants the work to keep on, then others would be lifted up to come in. You need to continue to train. If you're going to have individuals involved in the program, you're going to have to train them and keep them active. You're going to have to keep your interest going. We had a luau this year at our family camp. We roasted a pig and everything because people were looking for new things to do. I encourage you as a camp to have a sharp and long-range planning. Your general layout of the grounds. Your program, where you're trying to go. And I think one of the most effective tools that the local assemblies can give in support with an assembly camp is that follow-up after camp. Contacting the young people when they go back home. So many go to homes that, you know, your wildest dreams. Yeah, I know that. And, you know, you have to be concerned in the training and feeding of your staff as well. Yes, brother?
On the matter of counselor training, the counselor's interest is it's a folly
okay.
to try
just
to get a person, man or woman, or father or mother in there. Love for the children, love for the young people, desire to serve the Lord, and a willingness to give their time. Otherwise, forget it.
That's right. That's very true. If you all wouldn't mind, I would encourage you to keep on the discussion, and our brother Joe, our brother Ben, even our brother Jay here could continue on.
We've got that lined up right now. We're going to bring up Ben right now, then we're going to bring up Pat, and we're going to bring up Terrence Henry.
Henry's very good with pine wood.
As a matter of fact, we've just got started.
Amen. I'm going to listen to the tape when I get it back. I'm disappointed that, well, maybe the picture took too long or I ate too many pastries at the
bakery. All right, before you leave,
yes, sir.
What is your function there?
I'm the executive director of Turkey Hill.
And we asked about the capacity. How many?
We handle
263 at the family camp over Labor Day.
No, we had over 315.
315.
Right. And I've left some brochures up here. This is one area. If you're interested in follow-up, this brother has a good track.
Yeah, what time is your plane leave?
Too early, I'm sorry to say. But I will.
Brother Ben, why don't you give us a little resume of Storybook?
Huh?
Right here, Ben. Now, at Storybook, Uncle Ben is in charge, and when he takes over, he's got a bell like this, and he rings that bell, and it's perfectly quiet. So that's what we want, several. We want very, very quiet. The floor is yours.
Frightening. Very frightening. I'll just give you a minute or two about my connection with Storybook Lodge, and then we'll open it for further discussion. I'd like to see some discussion. I'm 66 years of age, just about ready for the grave, and pardon me, coming of the Lord. And we started Storybook Lodge in 1948 with 1 week of camp, 11 campers. And this camp has developed and grown to about 10 weeks every summer. And we probably have only about 600 coming through the camps for the summer, because our camps are 2 weeks instead of 1 week, which makes for less numbers but more effective ministry. I'm sold on the two-week camp. We do have a few one-week camps, but our two-week camps are, I believe, by far our most effective camps. We started on a faith basis, charging no fees, giving no wages to anyone, and just trusting the Lord for finances, never sending out any notices to anybody, asking for nothing from no one. Then for 2 or 3 years, we slipped into being pressured into charging fees. But we were so unhappy about that, this is way back 25 years ago, we were so unhappy about that that we went back to the original pattern, namely no charging of fees to anyone under any conditions, and no asking for funds. And the Lord has wonderfully met our needs over the years. We always operate in the black. We have no mortgages, no indebtedness. All bills are paid, always, at all times, at the end of the month. Really, it's been the Lord. The Lord has done it. Now, let's have questions. And
I'd like to explore a little more of this matter of getting mothers and dads, or older people, I guess, into the counselor work. Has anyone had a successful program?
I'll answer that first, and then we'll have others answer that. Dr. Neff, a medical doctor in Virginia, Minnesota, 14 miles away from the camp, came to me about, he's 76 years of age now. He was then, I think, about 62 or something like that. It's about 14 years ago. He came to me one time, and he said, what could you do with an old man like me at camp? I said, Dr. Neff, we would just love to put you in a cabin with a group of boys. Okay, he says, I'm at your disposal. So he counseled a group of boys for 2 weeks, did a fine job, medical doctor, did a fine job for 2 weeks. We had another old man, Harry Holmberg, who came from Duluth. He said, what could you do with an old man like me? He was older than Dr. Neff. I said, we could use you as a counselor. He counseled a group of boys several years and did a tremendous job, better than the doctor. I wouldn't tell the doctor that right to his face, but if you carry the news back to the doctor, I don't mind. It's perfectly all right. I'm not telling tales. And then we had an elderly woman, a widow, about 60 years of age, who wrote to us from some distance, Worthington, Mrs.
Ludlow.
You know her, yes, Mrs. Ludlow. She wrote to me one time. She said, would you like to, could I be a help to you at the camp? I said, yes, you could counsel a group of girls. Fine woman, excellent woman. She did a terrific job for a summer. This can be done. You need certain personalities. Not everyone at the age of 25 to 100 is necessarily equally useful as a counselor. But there are many people over the many ages who would be very useful as counselors for boys and girls.
Well, you just hit on something I'd like to ask about, the idea that not everyone between the ages of such and such.
Yep.
What's gone through my mind, I started a letter, I started a 3 or 4 page letter to the camp I worked with this summer, in respect to the quality of counselors and ratio of campers to the counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, I don't know how you limit or how you come to the concept of how many people you will take into the camp, and whether you match quality counselors with certificate statements, whatever?
Yeah, I think every director puts certain groups together.
We're recording, and it would be helpful if you have a question to come up to the microphone. Repeat that statement.
All right. He's asking, would you match certain counselors with certain groups, ages and size, according to the ability of the counselors? Isn't that what your question was? I'm a little bit hard hearing too, Jay. I'm a little hard hearing too.
The size of the camp depended on the quality, the number of quality counselors you could recruit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Would you limit the size of the camp in relation to the quality of the counselors?
Yes, I think that the camp should always be limited according to the counseling abilities that you have. Now, this is very difficult because you're trying to get counselors during the time that registrations come in for boys and girls coming to camp. And so you're assuming that by the time the camp starts, you'll have sufficient counselors. Sometimes you can arrange your counselors months in advance, sometimes just a few days in advance, or one or two, you see. So there's a problem there. Camping has a real problem in getting adequate, able counselors for boys and girls.
Can you actively recruit the counselors? Like, if you see somebody
that... yes and no. A lot of my answers are yes and no. Sometimes I do recruit for counselors, and yet most cases our counselors are contacted by previous contacts of previous summers, and they write in to us equally often as my writing to them. And our campers come in through previous camp recommendations and advertisement. Last year's boys and girls bring our next year's boys and girls out. A friend brings a friend. So we don't send out any brochures or any advertising anywhere. We haven't for a number of years. But we always have our camps full because our previous campers are our advertisement for the following kids. And we reach a lot of kids from non-assembly background. Our nearest assembly is 14 miles away that we fellowship with personally. Our next nearest assembly is 175 miles away. And Minneapolis is still further away, 200 miles. So we only have one assembly anywhere near Storybook Lodge. So we're reaching a lot of Roman Catholics, a lot of Lutherans, Baptists, all kinds of backgrounds.
Do you think that... the fact that you don't charge has made a difference in the contacts of the campers that you get?
Yes. Yes. Our camp has a very high reputation in all of our area. Yet we never get monies from people around the community who know about the camp. For example, city groups and business organizations never send us any money. But they all know about the camp, and they highly respect the camp, and they know how we operate.
Do you tend to get more unsaved children because of that?
I believe so. I believe that we reach a lot of needy kids that normally would not come anywhere.
I want to introduce one of the top counselors, and Ben, you come up too, and you share a little bit.
These are Bible teachers, really.
Well, they're counselors.
Oh,
the
yes.
Platform.
Oh, yes.
Just introduce yourself here. And
this is George Larts and Ben Parmer.
And where they're from. And Ben is a wheat and cattle farmer from years gone by. And now... Ben goes up there, and George is in the teaching profession, and uses overhead, and has little characters, and does a fantastic job. Just to share a little bit, tell us a story.
Tell you a story?
Or a joke or something.
Well,
at the microphone.
I suppose I could say this, that it's nice to be here. I left the teaching profession after 32 years, about 7 years ago, to work in camp work. And I've been associated with Ben here for about 22 years up there at Storybook. And it's just nice to relate this. It's just as nice as the story of the little boy who was rushed off to school on Monday morning by his mother. As he went off to first grade, his mother said, "Now, you get home here at 3 o'clock sharp today because I expect that your grandmother's going to be here and she wants to see you, of course." He says, "Okay, Mom, I'll be right home at 3 o'clock. So at 3 o'clock, he rushed in the door, and there was Grandma. He says, "Hi, Grandma." He said, "So glad to see you. How long are you going to stay?" She said, "Well," she said, "I thought maybe I would stay a week." "Good," he said. "Then Daddy can show us his new trick." "Oh, your dad has a new trick?" "Yes," he said, "and I've never seen anybody do this trick before. He said, if you came and stayed a whole week, he'd climb the wall." Anyway, we have a lot of fun up at Storybook, and this past summer, Don Norby and I have been associated up there also with Brother Ben for many years, along with Ben Palmer. And Don and I have usually handled the teen camps. He usually takes the morning session, right, the afternoon, and Brother Ben the evening session. But anyway,
I'm the garbage man for the camp.
Anyway, this past summer we had some 85 teens up there for 2 weeks, last week in June and first week in July. And I believe that I can frankly say that this was one of the best teen camps that I've ever handled up there. And I've really been thrilled with the attention we got and the interest and the results. Some came to know the Lord, and some were restored and are going on for the Lord and are committed to the Lord. But one thing that impressed me so greatly is that this year we had a great many notebooks turned in, and some of these notebooks were just as if they had been printed. They were so neatly put up and so neatly expressed. And over the years, I've had correspondence with some of these teenagers that have gone on for the Lord. And just recently, I had a letter from one of our former teenagers from years back, and he wrote and expressed his thanks for what he learned at camp and how he learned to take notes. And I really appreciate the comments that we've had. I've got a file about this thick at home from former campers at Storybook. But there's another thing that I think that it's important, in that we're training counselors also, that the question has come up about counselors. And I believe that the counselors have learned just as much as the campers. And we've seen counselors catch on for the Lord and go on for the Lord and are in the Lord's work today.
Just sit down there. Brother Ben, a lot of you know Brother Ben. He's in radio ministry and evangelistic. But one of the great things is that Brother Ben brings his son, Paul, and together as a father and son team, they serve at the camp. Tell us a little bit more, Brother Ben.
Okay, thank you. My son, Paul, who some of you know, has written a pamphlet. It's called The After... Overcoming That After Camp Spiritual Dive by Paul Palmer. Paul is never married. He's still living at home. I've told him he's eligible, but anyway, he hasn't. And we do work together a lot. I've been in camp work one way or another for a little over 30 years. I got my start a long ways away. The first camp work I had was in Alaska with Brother Ernest Crab. Anyway, there's a lot of real spiritual work accomplished in camp work, getting back to Storybook. I've been going there for quite a number of years, too. And I really believe that the core or the most important part of your camp, apart from the ministry of the word, is your counselors. Now, I have been at camps. Storybook's not the only place I go. I've been at various camps. I have been at camps where the biggest problem was your camp or your workers and your counselors. Now, the question came up, how do you get these older counselors? Well, most of my work at camp has been going as a speaker and years ago as a counselor. But my home assembly of the Lyman Bible Chapel sponsors a camp primarily for the Lyman kids. We have 1 week. We go to camp like they do in Iowa, the Iowa Bible Camp, where they feed us. We just go in with our staff. They feed us. We pay so much a person. And so we just have to have our spiritual staff. Now, we get mostly married couples. How do you get them? We recruit them. We go after. Hey, can you give a week? You and your wife both. And we've been fairly...